You are now listening to Cloudy with a Chance of Awesome. Here are your hosts, Hayden Chase Kuzma and Benjamin King.
Welcome everybody to Cloudy with a Chance of Awesome. In today's episode, we explore the latest strategies and best practices for unlocking the full potential of your data on AWS. Before we get ahead of ourselves, definitely want to pass it over to my co-host, Hayden.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Great to see you all again, and hope you enjoy the episode today. My name is Hayden Chase Kuzma. I'm an account manager here at AWS, specializing in small, medium business and our wonderful customers in the West Coast. As we always say, what are we drinking today? Ben, I got myself a Reign Energy, getting a little bit of emotion and energy into the conversation today. So looking forward to the topic, and Ben, I'll hand it over to you.
Nice, you gotta love some caffeine in the morning. Quick intro, my name's Ben, I'm an account manager as well, really specializing in helping SMB and startups, really leverage the cloud. So really excited to, get things going with today's episode.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to jumping into today's topic. We're going to be speaking about data strategy and modernization. So I think we all can agree data has really become the lifeblood of modern businesses. So in all my conversations, I'm hearing, what can we do with our data? We have a lot of data and we want to figure out a well-defined data strategy. So this is crucial for SMBs to make informed decisions, gain insights, and really stay ahead of your competition and help service your customers. So that's our topic for today. Looking forward to discussing it.
Yeah, that's right, Hayden. Before we do dive into the specifics, though, first, I really want to understand why data modernization is so important. And just curious to hear your thoughts, regarding today's fast-paced digital landscape. And, a lot of SMBs still have a traditional on-premise data solution. I know sometimes that could be often siloed and flexible and kind of struggle to keep up with the growing volume of data. But Hayden, curious to get your thoughts here.
Yeah, that's a good question, Ben. So I think what you do is you embrace this cloud-based data solutions that we offer, and you can really benefit in a number of ways. That could be a scalable solution, cost-efficient solution, and then also just getting advanced analytics with your capabilities there. So AWS really will offer you kind of that wide array approach to manage services, and services that come to mind, at least for me, are things like Athena, Amazon Redshift, QuickSight. These really enable our SMBs to store, process, and analyze their data in an effective manner that we often see immediate results from. So those are just ways that I can see SMBs making that direct impact. At least that's my thoughts, Ben. Do you have anything to add there?
Yeah, definitely. What kind of comes to mind that I've seen a lot of my customers leverage are, some of the services like AWS Glue and AWS Lake Formation, right? This is, going to simplify and automate a lot of the tasks like data integration, mm-hmm. cataloging, even some tools to help with governance and enabling organizations to really build robust, secure, compliant data lakes.
Right, you're right there. Yeah, I think, at least for me, when I'm thinking backwards here, I think before you can really dive into these services, especially some of the ones that you mentioned, or even like QuickSight, for instance, I think it's really important for SMBs to establish a data strategy that aligns with your business objectives. This is something that I think as an account team, we do really well, is we'll hop on a call, dive deep, understand where you're looking to go, how your data is sitting today, and what we can do to directly impact that data strategy. So you really want to ensure a few things, I think, that come to mind for me, right? I think it's data governance, data quality, data architecture, and then most importantly is your data security, right? So I think that's something that should be top of mind for SMBs before you jump into those services, at least when I'm thinking about data strategy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Hayden. A well-defined data strategy not only ensures data integrity and compliance, but also fosters a data-driven culture within the organization.
Right.
So, by involving stakeholders, getting everyone on board from various departments or, different business entities that are intertwined within the organization, you could really identify the specific data requirements and prioritize, those data modernization efforts, if you will.
Right, right. And then you build off that, right? It's a stepping stone. So once you have that data strategy in place, you can start to leverage our services a bit more, and that's where that modern cloud-based infrastructure comes into play. So you're kind of migrating that on-premise approach to something like, let's say, Redshift, where you implement this a serverless database, data lake, my bad, and then you start to leverage S3, Glue, and then you start to get into those advanced capabilities, and that's when we really open up those conversations to machine learning and AI, which create a huge buzz in our conversations today, you know?
Yeah, no, I love that, and there's so much you could do once your data strategy is, finalized, and, The nice thing about AWS and having all the services is that not only does it open the door there, but there are so many, different data and security compliance services that you can use as well. You know, having that robust security feature and compliance to ensure you can meet some certifications, whether it's HIPAA, FedRAMP, what have you, mm-hmm. ensuring that organizations could meet the strictest regulatory requirements is something I'm hearing from our customers that they like when it comes to, modernizing their data infrastructure.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we say it all the time. Think of it like Lego blocks. You're building, you want to get all these pieces together to create this wonderful environment. So think about it. You get the security, the compliance. That allows you to start to begin to focus on extracting those insights from your data while leveraging those heavy infrastructure management and security in AWS. So you just kind of leave everything behind and focus on that insight for your customers while knowing you're secure the whole time. So that's really everything, Ben. I think this conversation, we just covered a whole lot of topics, but I think it's a really good segue into the rest of the episode.
Yes, for sure. And that's what I'm excited. I know our time is almost up here.
Yeah.
We have a great guest segment where we're going to bring in a subject matter expert that has helped a lot of Hayden and I's customers really fulfill the different requirements for data modernization and data strategy efforts a lot of customers have. But before we leave, want to give our listeners one final thought. Data modernization is not just like a technical endeavor, but it's also, one of those organization transformative journeys that require a really strategic approach. Mm-hmm. A lot of organizations are adopting that data-driven mindset and, that commitment to continuous improvement. So I do like that there is kind of that cultural aspect when it comes to the business and the organization and how data modernization could positively influence them.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better there, Ben. So once again, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. It's been another episode here of Cloudy with a Chance of Awesome, focusing specifically on AWS data modernization. So stay tuned for more episodes and more potential to unlock your data on AWS Cloud. And I appreciate everyone's time today.
I hope you all found today's conversation very informative. I am very excited to segue into today's guest segment. I hope you all enjoy.
Welcome everybody to our guest segment. I'm really excited to bring on a subject matter expert when it comes to data modernization and any of your AI initiatives. With that being said, super excited to introduce Jack Singh, CEO and founder of Avahi.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me, guys. Glad to be here.
Of course.
Looking forward to the next hour with you guys.
Yeah, should be fun. Wonderful. So I know we like to start off. I know we know about Avahi, Ben and I have worked with you a bunch in the past and had a lot of success. But for our listeners and maybe some of the folks on the podcast today, can you tell us about Avahi, who you are, what you do?
Definitely. Avahi is a cloud-native advanced tier AWS consulting partner with migrations and DevOps competencies and about 5 service deliveries. We're almost entire core is ex-AWS, so most all of the people worked at AWS at some time and then moved over to Avahi. Our idea was to work backwards from the customer when we started the company, and one of the things I found early on was people who have worked at AWS or Amazon in general, it was easier for them to correlate and understand the leadership principles. And since Avahi is based on the same leadership principles, there's one less thing to train and one less thing for us to fail upon. So I just went to the source and mothership and hired a lot of people from there, with the idea being always work backwards from the customers, and customers should not feel any difference while talking to somebody at AWS or at Avahi. They should have the same experience. We're about 2 years old at this point and growing rapidly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something I see a lot, especially working with Avahi, is just it feels like you're working with an extended one-team approach, which is nice for us, at least internally, and I know our customers like it too, so that's great.
Perfect. To kick off our questions, we always start with this question specifically. You know, a lot of our listeners now, we are within the small and medium-sized business segment. So we always kick it off with, what does SMB mean to you?
So for the folks tuning in, a little bit of history of mine. When I started, while I was at AWS, I started working, I did start what we used to call a standard territory, which was everything from somebody who's just registered a company to, at times, Mercedes being in our patch as well. We called it territory, which was SMBs, everything except for enterprise, which was a separate segment. Then it got bifurcated into what we have now, which is startups, SMBs, and you have other verticals as well. So for me, very much looking through that journey of the customers, I think of SMBs who were startups of yesterday, where at times they maybe started when data centers were name of the game and started their journey through a data center and have matured in that journey. And as cloud took over, they are now adopting or looking to adopt the cloud and the advantages of the cloud. For me, when I think about SMBs in general, I look at a couple of characteristics that, that stand out to me, which sort of puts them in a different category than a startup. And not that the startups are a whole lot different. I think generally what I've seen is that SMBs would have limited IT budget and expertise compared to enterprises, right? Where they have something that they need to work towards within a limited time, limited budget, and they got to go execute on it. And you take that, you look at their tech stack. It's either they're on-prem or they have some adoption of early adoption of cloud, and they're still leveraging very rudimentary services, which we who are in the business call as our utility services, right? The compute and the storage, so very basics of it, but not completely utilizing what cloud has to offer in its entirety. For me, that's the lens that I look at SMBs from.
For sure. Yeah, I think that's what I'm seeing too. And we've said it a lot in the past, is these are customers who are hungry to adopt services and to modernize. And it's nice to know that a partner we bring in also shares that same approach. Now, I know we talked a lot about in this episode, data modernization. Ben, I know you and I in the past did a whole Gen AI topic, and Kayla as well, and we touched on that. So I'm curious, from an Avahi lens, when you're coming to a partner discussion around, let's say, Gen AI, data modernization, what are some of those correlations that you have between the two, between generative AI and data modernization?
Yeah, generative AI and data modernization are interconnected in several ways, right? Primarily due to the evolving needs of data-driven systems and the capabilities of generative AI. The way I look at this is data modernization provides the infrastructure and data quality required for generative AI. I'm sure you guys have heard the term garbage in, garbage out, right? So when we talk about generative AI, a lot of customers are now wanting to do something there, but the conversation isn't, it does not start there. That's where the conversation typically ends, right? The first question that I have for these customers is, great, you want to talk about Gen AI, but what is your data strategy today? Is it, do you have a proper data lake? Do you have pipelines built out? How clean is your data? And for us, I think that's the foundation. As long as you have a rock solid foundation, you will then have a great experience going into Gen AI, but diving in just because the market is moving so fast around Gen AI and you want to do something, you can't just skip the steps to get there. Looking at a couple of things that come to mind at a high level, I mean, you talk about data quality and preparation, right? Accessibility and integration of different data sets. That's where I see a lot of SMBs. They have siloed approaches where they might have different databases, but none of them are talking to each other. I come from an SMB background myself. I still remember back in the day, we used to use a CRM, and it was very siloed. The data just resided in it. Then there was a procurement system, and the data resided in it. How do you create a intelligent system out of those disconnected systems when they're all on-prem was really hard. And to us, when we talk about Gen AI and data strategy, especially in terms of cloud, bringing all of that data together, in a data lake, cleaning that up, and then leveraging that data to drive Gen AI specific use cases to that customer is where the path leads to, but there are a lot of small little things that need to happen before you can start having a Gen AI conversation.
Yeah, I really do like that point of, you know, looking at data modernization as like your strong foundation for those Gen AI initiatives and projects that you may have. I'm curious, when, you know, you've connected with a lot of SMB customers that are looking to modernize, you know, their data and such. But I'm kind of curious to hear a bit more. What are some of those common technical blockers or, you know, items that a lot of SMB customers may not see coming that you've helped them with and your team at Avaya has helped them with?
Yeah, SMBs often face various technical blockers when attempting to modernize their data systems, right? And it just goes back to what I touched upon earlier, that they have legacy systems which were meant to be siloed, so you don't have the connecting data pieces there. Two, they have limited budgets. Then lack of expertise in the area around cloud, because these, if you think about the systems, the folks that are managing those systems, they are experts in managing those systems. They might not necessarily have gained the knowledge and the experience of what it takes to bring that and bridge the gap from on-prem to cloud. Then you talk about data quality issues, right? I mean, I think that is one thing by far that I'm seeing in the industry where the, I mean, there's smaller industries that are set up entirely to clean up people's data or manufacture data so that it's clean from the get-go. Then you talk about integration complexities, right? Not all systems will have clean data sets to integrate the way you expect them to right out the gate. So there is going to be some sort of dev work that would be required to make that happen. And as you go into these different data systems, you get access to these datas. Obviously, data security becomes a concern as to who's got the access. Now you have a lot of company data that's out there that somebody's working with. How do you protect that? And then change management in general, right, is never easy. I mean, it's always, when you think about change management, where I've seen a lot of SMBs make mistakes is they'll pick one of the three things, and it's either people, technology, so we call it PPT, right? People, mm-hmm. process, technology. Mm-hmm. And unless you enhance all those three towards your cloud journey, it's gonna leave something out of the mix, and you might not get the most optimal results. And lastly, again, putting all of this sort of together, just because of the legacy systems, the lack of expertise, siloed approaches, and competing priorities, you have challenges that come with cloud adoption, right? A lot of these companies just, for them, hey, I'm scared. What's right now? It's on-prem, but what's my bill going to look like? How am I going to go manage this thing once it goes live? So for me, I mean, these are some of the most often asked questions that we address for our customers on an ongoing basis whenever we are trying to have a data modernization conversation with an SMB.
Yeah, I mean, listening to these answers already, and I know we've worked together in the past, but as a listener, I think Jack and the Avaya team really demonstrate that they understand our customers, which is huge for us, because I feel like no SMB customer is the same, and that's really important, I think, just to earn trust deep into the account. So once again, I know Ben and I know the answer to this, maybe some of our listeners do, but in regards to like a common engagement with Avaya, what can a customer expect from your team from start to finish? What can they expect from your team through and through?
It's a question I like a lot. Mm-hmm. I think, like you said, you guys have seen us do this many times. Or yeah. For us, we want to make sure that we work backwards from customers' needs. Mm-hmm. So you've seen our slide deck. We keep it limited for a purpose. It's a placeholder. It's not where we want to go in and bore the customer to death. Mm-hmm. Our approach typically is get on a call with a customer, introduce ourselves, and then pivot to asking them what their problems are, mm-hmm. right? Why they're here. And how then we can walk through the process of how we think about solving it for them. Mm-hmm. And my ask of all of my teams is to, if they can, solve the customer's problem on the first call itself. Mm-hmm. Look, doing the right things is how I want to build a company, or I have built a company even up until now. And one of the things is you don't want to force customers to engage with you if it's a simple fix. give them, empower them, and they'll come full circle down the line because you've earned their trust and bring you business. I think Hayden, you and I have had customers where we went in initial engagement, we gave them what they needed without charging them anything, and then they came back a couple of months later that, hey, now I have this bigger project, can you come in and help? And we got a paid engagement out of it. Now, how does the process, the engagement process works at a high level, right? So we obviously start with an initial consultation where we'll understand customer's use case to see if it fits what we are capable of delivering. Our expertise is three things, right? Migrations, data analytics, and AI ML. If it's in our realm, we'll then move to what we call technical discovery, in which we'll go a bit more in depth within the customer's environment, try to understand what the scope should be. From there, we'll propose a solution design to them. And if customer likes what they see, we'll move to a statement of work. And then statement of work, we have different ways of engagement, right? Look, we don't want to do unnatural things and unnatural to the customer, right? This is something that we do day in, day out. I equate ourselves to think of as a doctor who delivers babies 5-6 times a day versus a parent who's going to have maybe one or two kids throughout their lifetime. They just don't know enough. Whereas a doctor probably knows the best things to do, best actions to take for any unforeseen circumstances, situations. We just talked to, I think Hayden, you and I, between Ben, we are on calls with customers a couple of times a day.
Right.
Now imagine what we learned through that, right? That there's no compression algorithm for experience. When now a new customer comes to us, we bring all of that experience to them in the form of, hey, if you're trying to do this, this is what we think would take to get it from point A to point B. Once customer sees that, they like what they see, they sign our statement of work, and then we move to what we call delivery. And then our delivery teams take over. Our TPMs are the single source of truth that drive the entire project end-to-end for our customers. And in delivery, they go through. So we have a phased approach, which is what we don't want is to be in a situation where, hey, we have presented a statement of work, customers signed off on it, but then they don't see anything till the very end. And then there's a shock where, hey, this isn't to my expectations, or this isn't right up to the mark. So what we have done is we have divided our approach of any of these deliveries in essentially 4 to 5 different phases. Phase one is you do another discovery, a deeper discovery, to ensure that you are creating use cases. So there are specific deliverables outlined to these things that customer signs off on. Right, so after each phase, we will have a customer sign off so that we're sort of checking the boxes, and these are what we call one-way doors, right? So that, hey, Mr. Customer, if you've got your sign off, that means you've approved our work, you're good with that sprint, and we're gonna move to the next one. From discovery, we move to design. So once the design is done, we'll then get the customer's approval and sign off on that. From there, we'll move to build. Once the build is done, we'll demo the build to the customer. From there, it's go live, and then from there, it's a handoff. Each phase is, like I said, a one-way door decision. And what that means is, hey, if you've done the design or we're building and customers coming back at that point and asking us to change something, that then is considered a change request, because, hey, Mr. Customer, you gave us a sign off on this, we have now created a project plan, we're executing on it, but within that design window, if you want us to change something, we're more than happy to accommodate. And that helps customer be informed throughout the process where we are. It also, what we have noticed is, reduces the burden on the customer, the anxiety that, hey, once you guys go live, am I going to be left alone, or how am I going to go manage this on myself? So this sort of eases them into knowing what's being done, and the knowledge transfer is much simpler. And beyond that, we do offer an MSP offering as well, where if the customers don't have large IT teams to manage the environment that we built for them and they want us to, we will manage it.
Perfect. This is the last question for today's interview, but it's a great segue into it. You know, for our listeners today that want to get started, they're very interested in, you know, data modernization or Gen AI projects. You know, what actions can they take today to get started?
So AWS has a lot of programs that they offer to customers who want to do either POCs or just even run a workshop, right? Where AWS will come in and they will guide you through the process. We are one of the partners that drives that for them as well. So we can, in a lot of these cases, start with either a workshop or a proof of concept, which then goes into production for the customers. If folks are interested, I'd say, hey, reach out to Hayden, Ben, or go on our website, avahitech.com, and there's a contact us page there. If you reach out, somebody gets on it pretty quick, and we can schedule either a workshop, a POC, fairly quickly.
Awesome. Yeah, so, I mean, Jack, this was our first time all sitting in the same room and having a guest with us, so I think it went pretty smooth. Appreciate you for joining us today, and we're excited to get some customers in front of the Vahi team and to hear some more success.
No, hey, thank you. I appreciate you guys having me, and hopefully we do more of these here pretty quick.
Yes, sir.
Perfect. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Cloudy with a Chance of Awesome. See you next time.